Clinton Yates, Ramona Shelburne, ESPN 710. It is time for What You Need to Know. Greg, holla at me.
I feel all bad now because I want to hear Momo's news.
Do your job. You later. I want to hear these stories. We'll get to it. Come on.
All right. So there is a 12-year-old boy named Cale Bell from St. Anthony's Catholic in Ermstown, Greater Manchester. So on the other side of the ocean.
As in England.
He decided that he advertised an event on Snapchat, and he made it was all 8-year-old boys that are going to attend, and all year 8 boys will attend. He threw a rave inside of the men's bathroom at his school, and it lasted 30 minutes. Yeah, it lasted 30 minutes. Is this the coolest kid, or is this like, what are you doing, man?
Easily the coolest kid by a mile. I saw the clips of this too, where he's got lights. You know what I'm saying? Like, he didn't just have the music going. There was a full experience. And as somebody that went to a pretty small private school where these kind of pranks and this kind of nonsense was a relatively regular activity, I applaud this kid. And if he got into any trouble at all, Momo, all those teachers and administrators are haters, okay? That's a good bit. That kid shows a lot of gumption with all that organizational skill. And if he got enough people to go and he got it done in half an hour, good on him. I like that. That's just me.
Eight years old?
Year 8. So that's that's seventh graders?
They're
12. Graders?
Yeah, they're 12 years old. Yeah.
Oh, they're 12. Okay, so they're younger than that. But yeah, man, come on. It's middle school. Obviously, you're wilding in the bathroom. That's what it's there for. Wow. Hating. That's disappointing.
We're 2020. What are they doing? Have they all been vaccinated? I'm sorry. I'm like the snitch over here.
Okay. All right.
I'm like the monitor.
Fair enough. You did self-identify as such, so I'll give you that.
I am snitching.
Full
watch out.
Snitch
if you
mode.
Are in my neighborhood, I'm calling you out. Seriously, I saw them. They were literally having like a whole party outside. They had ice rinks. I was like, no, sorry. There's 15 cars here. No.
Those are grown adults making bad decisions. A kid throwing a rave in a bathroom is just trying to be cool with his friends.
Yeah, okay. And they're gonna take it home with all their friends. Okay,
that's fair.
Sorry.
All right, Greg, what's next?
Sorry.
All right, so this one, I just thought this one was really cool. I'm not sure how much really there's a question to it. Just wanted kind of your reaction to it.
Yeah.
So a 20,000-year-old woolly rhinoceros was dug up from Russia's permafrost, and it's still pretty much intact. And I just think that's really cool that we're finding brand new species all over out of
brand
nowhere.
New. The whole point of the story, Greg, is that they're not brand new whatsoever.
Brand new to us. Have you ever heard of a woolly rhinoceros?
Yes!
A woolly rhinoceros!
Yes,
that's
I have!
So cool. No,
I took
haven't.
Rocks for Jocks in college. I've heard of these things. No, okay, this is a great story because, Greg, have you seen the video of it?
Yeah.
Oh, it is so bizarre because these dudes are like spraying water on this thing, and I'm not going to get all into like old... like what that means for science, because I don't want to freak everybody out. But like, they found this thing and there's like an exposed rib cage and they have to spray all this water on it before they pull it out. It is quite fascinating. Although if you understand the science of why pulling things out of permafrost is actually not a good idea, it's pretty scary. But Momo, have you seen this as an animal lover, as you stated yesterday?
No, I don't know what you're talking about. I think it's cool. I love that we're finding new stuff. I think we probably... are going to find way more new stuff the more we explore the permafrost, although I worry a little bit about the ice caps melting because we need that permafrost, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But I think I love that when we find like new stuff, because there's a whole history of the world that we have no concept of. Like, you know, we read about it in history books, right? We read about it, and like those are just guesses, you know? Like they piece it together. I took one of those classes in college, like anthropology, archaeology. And they like find stuff and in you know old civilizations, and they like, you know, they guess, they put stuff back together, and they kind of have theories and things like that. But we don't really know. There's amazing stuff that happened in the past that we have no idea. So
very
I think
true.
It's cool. Yeah.
Short version though, Greg, is that when you pull out old species, you open yourself up to risk for old diseases, literally microbes. That's actually
true.
Very real. So that's all. The only reason I was bringing that up. Is that it? Is that what we need to know, Greg?
That'll do it for what you need to know. I need to know what's going on with Momo.
Okay,
you
since
guys,
we have a priority, what's happening? You teased this hardcore last segment, and Laura guessed it
here.
In the middle. What's going on?
I did.
Okay, we're sitting here, and I'm like, I got a notification on my phone. It's a Twitter notification, all right?
All right.
Do you want to know who followed me?
Uh-oh, hold on.
Do you
want
to know who just followed Momo?
I need a hint.
From ear to ear.
I need a hint. Not an elephant hint.
This man could read the phone book, and I would pay to hear it.
Oh.
Morgan Freeman.
Vin Scully!
Vin Scully, I got it! I got it!
It's time
for Dodger baseball. Oh, my God.
That is awesome.
That's a great one.
I literally have goosebumps.
Wow.
I'm so stoked.
I don't know what I was expecting, but I wasn't expecting that.
Do you know how much I love Vin Scully? Do you know?
Yes.
I used to cover Dodger games a lot, and he was still, you know, he was still calling the games. And I would, like, see him walking through the press box, and I'd be like, be cool, Mo, be cool. Be cool. Don't say something stupid. You know, and I was just like, hey, Vin. Like, I Vin's couldn't great. Even talk, right?
I've never met Vin. I've never had the opportunity to. And, you know, that's something that probably won't happen in my lifetime. But one of the things I was always struck by Vin was that not only, obviously, is he the broadcaster that he is, but his sort of living history with the Dodgers that, by the by, if for those of you who have never been to Dodger Stadium, the best thing that the Dodgers do at that ballpark is document the franchise's history inside of the park. It's literally amazing on a lot of levels. The Dodger Stadium is arguably one of the top five baseball museums in America, and there are so many things where Vin is just there. You know what I mean? Like, he's recognized as much a part of that franchise as any player and any executive, which he absolutely is. And it's amazing how well respected he is from that point. That's amazing, Momo. Congratulations.
I mean, I think, like, we have met, Vin and I have met, but I was definitely, like, too awestruck to talk to him in any kind of a meaningful way.
Right.
Like, I would just say, hi, Vin. Hi, Mr. Scully. Calls like that. And, like, I think it's also just, like, he is the soundtrack to my childhood. I grew up as a baseball player, like, softball player, right? So, like, I watched the Dodgers growing up every night. I was a huge fan, right? Like, and so, like, Vin, to me, is, like, the soundtrack of my childhood, right? And I think everybody in L.A. feels like that with him. If you grew up watching the Dodgers, whatever it is. But it's also just that he is just such a kind, decent person that, like, when he got on Twitter, I was like, oh, nobody mess with Vin. You guys better not mess with Vin on Twitter.
We don't need you clown towns jamming up his, you know, his mentions.
Yes. Nobody troll Vin. If anybody trolls Vin, I'm calling. I'm
snitching. Snitch line. There it is.
But
Greg, what do you think about this, though? How jealous are you?
I'm extremely jealous. I got Vin Scully tattooed on my arm. Like, this is a big deal. Mm-hmm. Yeah, neither of you knew this?
You have Vin Scully tattooed on your arm?
I met you at Dodger Stadium, and you did not tell me that.
Yeah, but by the way, when you were talking about how you went around Dodger Stadium and took that video, I took that video of you walking around the Dodger Stadium.
I remember that, Gregory. That's why I brought it up. Okay? Full backstory. I met Greg at the ballpark. We got along like fast friends, and now we're talking on the radio.
Like, what precipitated you getting Vin Scully tattooed on your arm?
So I have a microphone tattooed on my left arm, on my forearm.
All right.
And so I was watching the Dodger game. Probably it was playoffs 2-3 years ago, and they won and they went to the World Series. And I was like, I'm going to get a tattoo. I was at the park. And I was like, I want something. I want something. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to get – I love Vin Scully. He means so much to me. And I found his autograph online. I'm like, give me Vin Scully's autograph.
It's a good autograph, too.
Arm.
It's a good autograph. Yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
And for proof, here, I'll take a picture of it and send it to you.
Yeah. Well, tweet it out. ESPN Los Angeles.
Wait, here is the big question, though.
Do you slide
into his DMs? Do I slide into Vin Scully's DMs?
Yes, yes, you do. The answer is yes.
That's always the question. And here's what you do.
And what happens if I do and he doesn't answer me?
Hold on, Momo. No,
I
have.
Do and he unfollows me so that I can't.
Momo, you're unraveling here. You're unraveling in front of Vin. All right, let's get it together here. Let's get it together here, Momo. Step out of the box. Step out of the box. Adjust your gloves.
I gotta breathe.
Adjust your gloves. Step out of the box. Take a breath.
I can't believe that you made me wait that long to tell you. I mean, I needed to tell you right away. Like, I was
as my coach used to say. Say your first, middle, and last name and take a deep breath to yourself. Now, here's what you do. You send a picture of you and your family to Vin. And you say, happy holidays,
Happy
Vin.
New Year,
I appreciate
Vin.
The follow. Bang. You're welcome.
That is so good.
You know, you don't got to get weird so about good. It. Just show them your family, bro. That's the move. You know?
Yes.
Greg, am I right about
Clinton,
this?
Clinton, that is good.
That's the perfect way to do it. I got to know, Laura, how the... I almost cursed. How did you figure that out? What okay. made you think that?
So the
she
first
cheated random.
No. I didn't yeah, cheat because she said no. What? No. She said this made my life. I'm like, I joked that someone followed you, and she was like, yeah, you got it. I was like, cool.
Oh, okay.
And then she said, sorry, Momo.
He could read the phone book.
Yes,
and
he
I would
could
pay.
Read the phone book, and you would pay. I was like, Vince Scully.
That was a good hint.
I was like, Vince, you. Wow. Who said Morgan Freeman?
I would listen to Morgan Freeman.
I would too. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, but we're talking. I thought sports, so I was like, Vince Scully. Like, who else would it be? But I didn't turn on my mic. I just told her, and then I was like, I got it. Yeah, I was okay. excited about that.
So when I first said this, Greg asked, "Can we do a whole segment on this?" I'm like, we can do the whole show on this. Do you even know how excited I am right now? Like, I don't even know. You're going to have to bring me back to focus on the rest of the show. But okay. I will say this. This was my most important follow ever on Twitter. I have other famous people who follow me. No one will ever be as cool as Vince Scully. No one. Sorry. Okay. That's fair.
Let me ask you this though, Momo.
Maybe Barack Obama, maybe, but
well, see, that was going to be my guess, actually. 44 was going to be my guess.
He follows a lot of people. He does. I'm upset about it. because he follows he literally follows almost 600,000 people.
Does he? I didn't know that.
Go on Barack Obama's page. He has 125 million followers. Oh, 127 million followers, but he follows 597,000 people. And I was like, what do I got to do?
That just ruined my year. Momo's having a great year ends. I'm out here thinking, what's going on? 44, holla at me.
And to that point, Vince Scully, by the way, Vince Scully follows 188 people. That's it.
Wow.
That's it.
You are in a special
club. ESPN Los Angeles is one of them, by the way. That's pretty cool.
Wow. How about that? Okay, so let me ask you this, Momo. In the wake of this fantastic news, had you not been on the air when this happened, whom outside of your immediate household would you have told first?
I would have put it on Instagram.
She's like, nah, nobody's getting personalized. I'm stunting.
I told all my softball friends, like we have a text chain, and so I just immediately screenshotted it and sent it to all of them. And I am I'm really good friends with I can't say who it is because it's somebody in the league, okay? Right. But another person works for, let's just say, Eastern Conference general manager. Let's put it that way. Really loves Vince Scully as much as I do. Screenshotted it, sent it to him. I'm so probably just going to be sending it to everybody.
The message is out, right. We now know what Momo's going to be doing tonight. Forget dinner with the husband and all that movie stuff. That's out. All right. All we're doing is talking about Vin for the night. Who do you think, Greg, by the way, who is your most, maybe not your most famous follow, but who is the person that when they followed you, you were like, brah, my life, what's going on? Who is that for you?
The one that followed me is, let's see, who is it? It's Kid from Kid and Play. Which I thought was pretty cool. Yeah. Okay. I got that one years back, and I was like, wow, that's a cool one.
That is a good one. That is a really good one. I'm trying to think of who, because I don't – a long time ago, I tried to make sure that I stopped, being too cool about this. So I, tried to act like I didn't remember who these people are. But, early on in this process, there were a lot of people where I was like, oh, my God, that human follows me? So I'm flipping through my things now. Laura, who is your most famous or fun follow?
I don't know.
There are a lot of randos following me.
Yeah. It's like I'm not cool like you guys yet. So I don't have you guys, the guys here, I don't know. I don't have one. That's sad.
Oh,
now I'm sad.
I'm trying to flip through my things.
We
gotta
help her out. What do we gotta help?
They're all just a bunch of journalists.
I was like, I'm
sad.
Tell
me who you want. Ooh. Tell me who you want and I'll see if I can make that happen for you.
Okay, I gotta think about this, Momo.
There was a minute when the Kobe follow was a big deal because he only followed 12 people.
Right.
And I remember I was one of the first and everybody noticed because it was only 12 people. Right. And I was like, oh, I think you, and I actually told him, I was like, dude, you should follow a few more people because it's kind of shining a light.
It puts you in a space. Right? Who I would love a follow from is Michelle Obama. That's probably the person who I would like. I tell my mom about
Queen.
It. You know what I'm saying? Queen. Like, straight up. Yes. I would call her on the phone and be like, guess what, Ma? You know what I'm saying? Michelle follows me. So, okay. We're ending on a good note. Yeah. I like this. You know what we're going to talk about next, y'all?
What is your most embarrassing famous person interaction, though? Let's do that as our tease.
We'll do that in a bit. I tweeted about this the other day. I tweeted about this the other day, and we'll get to it coming up.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Woo!
What did he say?
I'm dancing.
And El Zigante's son. It's Clinton Yates and Ramona Shelburne, ESPN 710. Laura's out here playing the hits.
Yeah.
What's this song called?
You said it's a...
Okay. This is a classic. Laura informed us of some Latinx traditions that go on. I'm going to read this tweet. At Clinton Yates, at Unique You, and at the rest of us. Done the grapes in the underwear. Heard of the luggage thing, but my fam never did it. My whole extended family does this, parenthetically, 10-plus uncles and aunts from both sides. And we're from Jalisco? Am I saying that right?
Yeah, that's where my family's from, Jalisco.
So it might be a Latinx thing. Okay, that's what's up. I'm down. Your boy is absolutely a global citizen, never mind a Diplo brat, so I am very here for all of this. Now, before we went to break, we said, Momo asked us, have we had any run-ins with random famous people since, you know, she's now followed by Vince Scully and is one of the Fighting 188 who are part of that
club. I'm literally like mic drop right now. Like, I'm literally like, this is better than when I ran into Obama and he knew who I was.
Look at the flexes. Look at these side flexes, Greg. This is really what this is all about. This is just to set us up for Momo to dunk on us. How did I not fall? How did I fall?
I feel so bad right now.
Oh, my goodness. Hold on, though, Momo. Okay, so.
Doris
somebody,
Burke
let me.
And I, NBA can get, Finals.
Okay, okay, never mind.
NBA Finals. This I'm sideline radio. She's sideline TV. We're outside the locker room, I think Toronto. And the Warriors have like injury after injury after injury. Obama had come to the game. He walks by with Adam Silver, and we're just standing outside the Warriors locker room because that's what you get to do when you're the sideline reporter. You're like, oh, what happened to KD? What happened to Draymond? Right? So we're just standing there. Walks by, sees Doris Burke. They dap it up, like, hey, Doris, what's going on? I'm like, oh my God, this is the coolest thing ever. How does she know Obama? Oh my God, right? And like, I think there was like maybe like a little half hug. Like, it wasn't like a real hug, it was a half hug.
Yeah, yeah.
So she just, and I'm just standing there, like, be cool, like, you know. So, but I was like, let me just say hi. Let me just like make eye contact and just be like,
you wanted
hey.
To get in on the action.
No, but like, you have to be cool. So he walks. So like, all I was gonna do is like eye contact, half wave, okay. And he walks by me. There's like a glint of recognition, but not like, oh, like, hey, it's Momo. It's not like it wasn't like that. I really won't oversell it, okay. And he looks at me, and he, as he's passing, now you see the recognition. Oh yeah, that's who that is. Oh, I watch ESPN, and he looks at me and he says, you do a great job too. And I was like, oh, what did that?
Hold on. Did he say your name?
He said, no, there was no.
Okay.
Name.
I don't want to yuck your yums here.
No.
But I'm just saying that is an extremely excellent politician move in
that scenario. And I don't care.
Fair enough.
And I don't care. It still counts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
it still counts.
You kidding me?
Doris Burke says to me, I go, Doris, you just like had a moment with the prez. And she's like, I know, we met and did that whole thing at the White House. And she was like, yeah. And she was like downplaying it. Like, you know, she was cool because Doris is like the GOAT. She's so cool. And she's like, but he said, you do a great job. And I was like, I know, my life is made. And she's like, you should tweet that. I'm like, I'm not going to tweet that. That's such a flex. She's like, well, I'm tweeting it. And I was like, what? I was like, and she's like, do you not want me to? And I was like, huh? I don't know. I mean, if you want to, okay, go ahead, do it. Oh God, that thing went so viral, and I was like, I'm gonna retire now. I'm just gonna like
I mean, Momo's having moments all over the shop. Okay, so I have two to tell you about.
I don't even know if he really knew who I was. I think it, I really doesn't do matter. Think that was politics.
Doesn't matter at that
doesn't
point.
Matter. It still
that,
counts.
That counts. So I have two to tell you about in that regard.
All right.
And Greg, I'm gonna ask you about this because this is something that for me happens a lot more than like what I'll just call so-called actual famous people.
Okay.
But it's when like people in our industry who I know and love because I'm just a media clown and I, you know, intake
as many
things as possible. When people who I know and respect in the business know me, that is when I really lose it. And very interestingly, speaking of DB, one time I was covering a Wizards game, the worst team in the NBA. Don't talk to me about that. Is we were in the tunnel, you know, just sort of hanging out before the game, and it was a national game. And DB was there. She walked by, and Breen walked by. And I'm just standing there, you know, whatever, whatever. Breen walks by, and then he doubles back.
What?
And he just points at me, and he goes, "Yates." And I was like, I'm staring at Breen, and I'm thinking, don't say bang. Don't say bang. Don't say bang. I did not
say
bang. But he just goes, "Great job. I love watching you." And he gets just out of earshot.
Love
it. I just went, bang, like to my friend, and I was like, I don't care if he heard that. I had to say it. It was like that commercial where the guy's like, he's got blue hair, and you have to say it. It
that's
was one
like
of those.
Ric Flair. Like if you run into Ric Flair, you got to do the woo.
You got to do the woo. Okay, so that was the one that was a coworker, so to speak, that really got me. But there was a tweet on the Bird the other day that said, name a random celebrity that you've had a mundane run in, or rather, somebody who's more famous than you, allowing for famous people to do this. And here's the story I told. So, for those of you who don't remember, the NFL draft was in Nashville 2 years ago? I can't remember when it was. Last year.
So random. Okay.
And for those of you who don't know, the NFL draft has been outside 4 times. The first 3 years they had it, I think it was it Dallas, Chicago, and maybe Philly? And the average number of humans who showed up were 200,000 people in the town. Okay.
Oh, my God.
Good number.
Wow.
Nashville had as many people in their time as the three previous did combined.
Oh,
there were 600,000 people in Nashville. So it was out of control. You know what I'm saying? There's people everywhere. It's
NFL
a whole
draft.
Thing.
Yeah,
I'm staying with my buddies. Like, you know, I got a college friend. I got a homie that's there. So I'm like, whatever. I'm not even working. I'm just there kicking it. We're going to some, like, you know, I don't know, rooftop pool party, whatever. Some, I don't want to say hipster, but some influencer thing. Pardon me on this. I get into an elevator with my homie. And it stops on one floor. Two guys get in. One guy's got a huge guitar case. And the other guy is just kind of there. You know, they both got their shades on. And me
Billy
being...
Billy Ray Cyrus.
Stop it! Don't ruin the joke!
Is that it?
No! Okay, let me finish. Right. It's okay. I would be extremely upset if you had guessed that, so do not guess again, please. So I'm standing there, and I'm like, you know, I've had a couple.
Yeah.
It's the draft. It's Nashville. I'm feeling good. I was like, oh! You guys got an intimate performance on the roof, boys? Thinking like, whatever, these guys got a guitar. I'll, you know, talk a little trash. And they're just sort of looking at me and they're like, yeah, got something to do. And I'm like, oh, okay. And so we get out and then they keep going and they stay in and we walk 2 steps and my dude just turns to me. He goes, bro, that was Jimmy Buffett. And I'm like, what? And I go, I don't know what Jimmy Buffett looks like, and I never would have known. And he goes, look, it was fine. They seem fine, but, like, you definitely were being a huge jerk to a legend for no reason at all, and that was not necessary. And I was like, oh, I was so embarrassed. You know what I mean? Because, like, I was really just trying to be funny. You know what I mean? I wasn't knocking him. I'm just saying, hey, guy with a guitar, let's talk about some music. Maybe you got a performance, whatever, whatever. Little did I know. I was talking to one of the richest musicians on the planet who's got one of the biggest followings on earth. You know what I mean? And my boy was just looking at me like, bro, stop talking to people.
You could have ate for free. You could have ate for free at his restaurants forever.
That's my good
one. All right. You want to know my other one?
Yes.
This is not about me. This is not about me. This is young Momo. I was a reporter with the LA Daily News. I was writing a story about this woman. Her name was Sue Enquist. She was the softball coach there at UCLA for a long time.
Yeah.
One of the greatest softball coaches of all time.
I know who she is.
And she was she retiring? No, she was just like closing in on some records, whatever it was. I was writing a feature on her. And I was like in my 20s, I used to play against Sue. So this was like kind of weird to write about some coach she used to play against.
Tad off.
Yeah. Okay. But anyway, cool. So somebody had told me that Sue was really good friends and had gotten to know John Wooden very well. And I was like, well, do you think John Wooden would give me a quote? And they were like, I don't know. Give it a try. Here's his number. I was like, okay, I'm just going to call up John Wooden. And, you know, I didn't have any confidence back then. I was like in my 20s. I was just getting my feet wet, you know, whatever.
You weren't just rolling up on people.
Right. I was just like, oh, okay. It's not like you don't like tech John Wooden. You call him. Okay. He was like
on a rotary phone.
Old at that. Yeah. On a old phone. Okay. So I call John Wooden. I leave a message. I said, hey, Coach Wooden, this is Ramona Shelburne with the Daily News. I got your number from whoever, you know, doing a feature on Coach Enquist. And, you know, she said you guys are really, you really taught her a lot. You know, I'd love to talk to you for the story I'm doing on her. Here's my number. He calls me back. But it didn't say his number. It was like restricted number or something. So I didn't answer it. It was just like I didn't know it was him.
Oh, you duffed John Wooden?
So there's a voicemail. It's the greatest voicemail ever. Okay.
Oh, you got to keep that.
Hi, Ramona. This is Coach John Wooden, ex-UCLA men's basketball coach.
Like, we need to know!
He didn't say Coach John. He said, this is John Wooden, ex-UCLA men's basketball coach. I'll never forget that intro, right? Like, thank you. Thank you for reminding me who you are,
right.
Wizard of Westwood.
It's like when your mom calls and says, this is your mother. Like,
this
yeah,
is your
I know.
Mother,
I've known your
right?
voice since before I was on Earth,
and
literally.
He basically left me like a minute and a half long voicemail about Sue Enquist. Like, in other words, it was sort of the kind of voice, it was the kind of voicemail that like, you could just quote him from that and not right. call him back, right? You could. But of course I'm going to call him back, but I'm also going to save that voicemail forever. Except.
That's awesome.
On one of my like phone transfers, it just didn't transfer. Like, I was like, wait, what? I need the John Wooden voicemail. And they were like, oh, I'm sorry. It didn't. And I was like, no, you can't. No, I need the John Wooden voicemail. Where is it? And they were like, I'm sorry. The other phone's already been wiped. And I was like, it's been on my phone for 7 years. Like, we can't get it back. Oh. Where did it go?
That's on you, though, Momo. I'm not going to lie. You know, that's a bummer, but you got to cover your bases, as they say. I'm sorry.
I know. So nobody believes me anymore, but I'll just never. It was a real thing that happened for me, and I will always cherish the memory.
That is awesome. Well, that's what we're doing here. Good memories on New Year's Eve. Don Lemon is wearing silk pajamas on television. I need you guys to know that. Coming up, we're going to talk about
Don Lemon. Did you say Don Lemon?
Favorite, I did. Our favorite television programs, and we're using television loosely here. Don't get too fired up about that.
I know.
2020, Sedano and LZ, Clinton Yates, and Momo filling in New Year's Eve, ESPN 710.
Oh, what a pull right there.
I mean, this is just tremendous radio production work here.
I'm going to go play. Let's run out.
You want to run
like
out?
We're the 90s Bulls right now. Let's run
and
out.
Now! Sedano and LZ, Clinton Yates and Ramona Shelburne filling in here on New Year's Eve on ESPN 710. You know, we had this whole New Year's Rockin' Eve thing we were going to do. Then we just started telling dope stories. So how about that?
Yeah. Why not?
You know?
Why not?
People are talking about underwear they're wearing. People are talking about traditions. That's fine. You know, I don't mind that. But the most important thing that is happening in your boy Yeehaw's world when the clock strikes 12 Pacific time is that my favorite television program that I am not a member of right now is called Cobra Kai. Now, for those of you who don't know what Cobra Kai is, let me explain to you. The most important sports-related pop culture film series of the 80s is The Karate Kid. End of story. There's no way to argue with this.
End of story. I agree. No, the only other thing I would say,
If you want to, introduce some suitors, feel free.
The only other two, White Man Can't Jump for me.
White Man Can't Jump came out in 1992. Trust me, I live in Venice Beach, and I dressed up as Sidney Dean for Halloween. I am familiar with all the details. Talking about the 80s.
All right.
Okay. White Man Can't Jump is the movie that changed my life and makes me talk like this now. Understand that. So I am dialed in on that. But in the 80s, it was the Karate Kid series. Now, this is important because part of what the Karate Kid's appeal was that the story in a lot of people's minds was like pure enough that it was believable, like on a very real level. There was nothing like supernatural. There was nothing ridiculous about it. And it was also, quite frankly, fictional so that, like, you didn't have to worry about, like, historical accuracy as to, like, what actually went down in karate tournaments in the 80s. Nobody cared. The movie was that good. As the franchise rolled on, other people became other Karate Kids. Clinton Harris Yates never once watched those movies without Daniel-san. And so there was some issues about where the brand was. You know, that was a thing.
I agree with you.
Year ago, a show comes out called Cobra Kai. And the show is set 20 years after or 30 years after Karate Kid ends as a series with Daniel. And the roles are effectively reversed. Johnny is the down and out carpenter guy who doesn't really have anything going on. And Daniel has gotten rich off of being the All Valley champ. And he is a car salesman. And by a car salesman, I mean like...
And they got the real guys. Like, that's the thing. It's Ralph Macchio. It's really Daniel-san.
And let me say this. Let me say this lastly before we continue to laud this program.
Oh,
the thing about it that's so smart is that for hardcore Karate Kid heads, it's got the most unbelievably precisely intricate Easter eggs that if you really know what's going on, will drive you up a wall with awesomeness. And there are so many things. And no, I'm not giving it away because people might be binging and I don't want to be that person. You know what I'm saying? But there are so many things where I was like, bruh, this is like beyond brilliant. You know what I'm saying? Like it's somehow smarter than the movies. But the reason is very simple. William Zabka, Johnny, put him in a body bag. Not him. He passed away. RIP. But put him in a body bag, Johnny. That Johnny, he wrote, produced, and directed this bad boy. And like that on itself is amazing. It's almost like the real Johnny was sitting around the whole time trying to make sure that the story got told, and he didn't even make himself the hero necessarily to begin with. Like, I'm so impressed with what this show is that every single time I watch it, I remember the first season, at the end of every episode, I either screamed or cried at the end of every single one. Momo, I am so pumped for Midnight Pacific. I am binging the heck out of this. No questions asked. Oh, absolutely. No questions asked.
So here's the thing. I did not know the greatness of Cobra Kai until about a month ago, right? Oh. My husband, like, immediately started watching it as soon as it came out. He was, like, into the Cobra Kai thing. And I blame him for this because he did not tell me how freaking awesome it was. Awesome! It's so good. But it was on, like, YouTube Red. So you had to, like, really look for it. It wasn't, like, something that everybody has. But then it went on Netflix.
Yeah.
And there was one night where, like, you know, I've been counter-programming against COVID lately. I just can't. It's too scary.
I dumped COVID coverage unless necessary months ago.
It was like March or April. Then I did, you know, I did watch some political coverage in like October, November. And then I stopped. I had to like counter-program. I was like, you know what? I need to watch Below Deck and some Real Housewives and some dumb stuff. And there was this one night I was having kind of like a day. And I was like, Nev, I just need to watch something like really like kind of mindless. And he's like, can we watch something short? And I was like, well, like, what's short? Do we have any episodes of The Conners? I watched that. That's like a half-hour show. He was like, hey, I got one. Do you want to watch Cobra Kai? It's on Netflix. And I was like, okay. And I watched the first episode, and I was like, this is awesome! How did you not tell me? I watched 6 episodes the first night. I watched the next 4. I finished season 1 in 2 nights.
Right.
Like every single night I watched like half the series, and then I was like, that was so great.
I'm with you.
Like,
and let me tell you, halfway
through
season
3 is coming out. Yeah.
Halfway through season 2, Momo, I had to turn it off. I was too emotionally invested. I said, I'm a crazy person. I'm out here
smoking
beers, you know what I mean? Because I'm so fired up about this. You know what I mean? I'm out here like looking like Johnny passed out on his daggone thing because I'm like, I can't stop watching Cobra Kai. And now here's the thing too. I'm so pumped because, and this is probably getting more personal than it needs to, but obviously, one of the reasons why Karate Kid, at least the first one, is so tremendous is Elizabeth Shue.
And yes.
I'm sorry if this is a spoiler alert for you all, but like she has not shown up yet. Okay.
Oh, but I think she's gonna.
And if she does,
Momo,
I don't know what your do not disturb situation is, but you might get an all caps text if Elizabeth Shue shows up on my screen at any given moment.
What happened at the end of season 2 with Facebook?
Because I will lose my mind.
Oh my
I'm going to lose my mind.
Clinton.
So I apologize to all of you who don't watch this program, but I'm telling you, it's that good. And listen, I am a hardcore Karate Kid fan. So much that if you want to jump into my mentions, I will tell you this. The fight scene at the end of 3, better than the one at the end of the first one, because you get Miyagi on the mat, okay? Oh, don't argue with me about this, okay? I care about it, all right? My point is, though, for a series, for all the reboots that we have, all the nonsense we've been doing in terms of recycling content, Cobra Kai is not that. It builds upon a tremendous series, and it makes the movies better. That is the most important thing about all these reboots. We can get into The Mandalorian and all that. I'm not going to do that right now. I got other channels to do that. But right now, talking about the All-Valley Championship,
Clinton,
this show makes the movies better.
I want to tell you a few things.
Please do.
You are not from here.
No?
But if you were from here, you would know. And I don't even know how to describe this, but the people who live in the 818, all right, where I am from, have never had a series that has paid such homage, such respect to the great San Fernando Valley. Okay? It is set in my hometown. Like, I have never felt pride before about being from 818 like I do when I watch Karate Kid and when I watch Cobra Kai, even more so when I watch Cobra Kai because it's part of it. Like, they literally are like, we're in Reseda. And I'm like, Reseda! I'm like, we're going over to Encino. I'm like, Encino! Yes!
Right.
And then one of the guys, you know, the kid from the wrong side of the track, he lives in North Hills. North Hills! Yes! Like, I love it. Nobody has gotten, like, the 818, because the Valley is, like, one of those places people from the West Side make fun of. And I'm like, no, that's my town. I'm from here. I live here. Okay, so this is, like, that's why we love Cobra Kai so much. But
that's
also, if and whenever this, you know, COVID thing is over, I think I want to cut you in on something, okay? I have thought for years that we need to do a tour of all the famous places in the San Fernando Valley where things have been shot, okay? Like lots of movies and famous locales. Do you know where the All Valley Karate Kid?
Yes,
tournament?
You told us on the air yesterday.
The Matadome.
I have retention.
The Matadome.
Cal State Northridge. I remember. I'm very excited
about
this.
Every time I walk in the Matadome, I'm like, it's the All Valley Tournament.
Greg, write it down. Before you tell us your Cobra Kai story, write it down for 2021, remote at the Matadome. Okay?
Yes.
Just done and done.
Greg, what's your Cobra Kai story before we get out of here?
So, all right, so just real quick, when I started watching, I watched the season one, and when it was on YouTube Red, and I was really excited to watch it.
Yeah,
we had I got a 7-day free trial for YouTube Red just so I could watch this.
Oh, you're not the only one, man.
Right. So there was ten episodes, and me and my girlfriend were watching it, and we're like, so we started watching, and we saw all these great things. We're like, wow, this is awesome! It's so cool. And then we started watching. Then we went to the next episode, and we realized that we watched episode 10 first. And then episode 2, and didn't see episode 1 until way later. But it worked. It worked. Like, we thought it was like going back in time after that.
Episode 10. I totally did that once. Yeah.
Get your life together. That's a disaster. I'm glad it worked out.
It did. But I was like, we got all the way from 2 to 10 again, and we started watching. Like, this seems a lot like the first episode.
All right, man. Cobra Kai, I am pumped. So all you people out there listening, do not text me after 12 a.m. Pacific time. All right? I will block you.
So you're going to switch off of Don Lemon, okay?
Don Lemon is wearing silk BJs on television.
He is so lit.
We'll get to that later.
Yes! Woo!
Sedano and LZ.
This was my call. This was mine. This is so New Year's, right?
And Clinton, super New Year's.
Woo!
New Year's Eve, taking you home. Turned on our televisions because on the East Coast, it's getting late, which means that the old television personalities are coming out. Now, there's a lot of people who do a lot of things. Dick Clark is obviously the godfather of this genre. New Year's Rockin' Eve is something that has been a part of American pop culture since 1972. Fantastic tradition that goes on television. And the ball drop and everything that everybody sees, it started there with that guy. I watched my birth year New Year's Rockin' Eve this year. It was fantastic. Rick James was the star of that one. So that was cool to see. But I want to know, because I said at the previous during the previous segment, my man Don Lemon is on TV wearing silk pajamas and drinking wine on a couch, which is just tremendous on a lot of levels.
It is.
And over the years, Don has become a New Year's Eve icon in a lot of ways. There's Anderson Cooper. There's Andy Cohen. There's various people that exist around the national discussion. And then, of course, obviously, there's the God, Ryan Seacrest. Now, I'm partial to Ryan just because Ryan's a radio guy, and I've always respected Ryan's game in terms of what he does. I watch Kelly and Ryan every day. Sorry, y'all. That's a fact. But I want to know, who are your favorite New Year's Eve television personalities? And Laura, we're going to go Laura, Greg, Momo, because I want to get y'all first, because I want to know where we're going. All Laura, right. Who do you like to watch on New Year's Eve?
So I grew up in a Hispanic household, so we used to do Univision. And it was, there was a show called Gordo y la Flaca. So
yeah, Gordo y la Flaca.
Oh, I like this. Yeah, okay.
Now, now that I do it by myself, we don't even watch TV. We just got drunk. But this one we'll probably watch something. I mean, I'm staying home. So yeah, okay. Gordo y la Flaca it was for me growing
That's
up.
That's what's up. Greg, yourself.
I don't watch any of that stuff. I never
Come
have.
Come on.
I did. I mean, maybe Seacrest. Does Carson Daly still
Thank
do
you.
It?
Thank you.
Does Carson Daly?
Oh, Daly's a good addition to that discussion. That's a good call. Carson Daly was on that beat for a while. Carson Daly, another radio guy, SoCal guy as well. We like Carson around here, so that's a good call. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Momo. There you go. Carson Daly.
That's fine. You.
I have become an Anderson Cooper fan. I like when he hosted with Kathy Griffin. I really liked it when he
Kathy
did
as well. Yeah.
Kathy, because it was Anderson and Kathy, right? And then she kind of like went a little too far on some stuff, and then they banned her for a little bit. I don't know if she's back, but then it was Anderson and Andy Cohen, so I really like that one. But I like your man Don too, because you know what it is? He gets so drunk. Like, he's so drunk when he's hosting.
Oh my God, Jimmy Buffett's on CNN right now, and I was just talking about him. Sorry to interrupt.
He's like, Don is so unabashedly drunk while he's hosting, and it's great. It's great, yeah.
I mean, I don't want to sound like we're being irresponsible on the air or that, like, we're the kind of broadcasters or journalists that, like, are sort of into that kind of nonsense. But you got to understand, when the people who do these things, like Anderson Cooper, that guy's all over the place 300 days a year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The Don Lemons of the world, these guys are doing hard jobs.
That's right.
Every day of the week. It's one thing for us to sit up here and talk trash about Cobra Kai or what's going on with snitches in the NBA. It's another thing when you're presenting information to America that is as serious as it gets every single day of the week. That's why when they get a little loose on New Year's Eve, even if it's live on television, I ain't worried about it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's some level of deservedness to that in terms of, like, you know, what's fun and what you can do. You know, I don't know. I would love to host a New Year's show. I'm probably never going to have that kind of clout, and that's fine. But my point is that that's a really cool gig. And I love watching the different personalities of different people come out when they do it, you know?
Yeah, and I think that you would be a good New Year's person because New Year's is about letting it go a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, everyone, go have some fun. You don't have to get drunk, by the way. I've done it both ways. Most of the time, I don't. It's only when I go out to some party that I'm just like, oh, I'm going to need something to get through this, right? Okay,
right.
Like, but then I just let it go and have fun, okay? But That's why I think the Don. I don't want to call him that.
Don Lemon. That's my bit, and that's not even nice. So I will not suggest anybody else do that.
Like Don Lemon is always like serious. Well, not always serious, but he and Chris Cuomo have a little thing going now. The way they're not serious, they're kind of fun. But it's fun to watch him just completely let loose, right? And Anderson Cooper always so serious. Why so serious, right? And then he just, like, totally lets it rip. Him and Kathy Griffin, when she used to host with him, she was always, like, just saying super inappropriate things to, like, make him blush all the time.
Right.
That was her whole thing. So that's why I think that that's why it's fun to watch those news anchors host on CNN. And I dig it. I think Ryan Seacrest is good. I think he's good as well. He pays, you know, homage to Dick Clark, and that was the original.
Seacrest is more in the Dick Clark lane of just bringing everybody together, making sure we're all having
music
fun.
Yeah, music relax, you know, yada yada. It's all good.
No, I love that. So what are we doing tonight, y'all? All right, we're how far away are we? We're 2 hours away on the East Coast, which means we're farther away here. What are we doing tonight, Laura? What are the plans? What's on the Dranky Drank menu? What's going down?
Man, I'm actually just staying home for the first time, and I don't even know when was the last time I was home for New Year's Eve.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to stay home, watch some Netflix. I actually can't drink because I had surgery like a month and a half ago. So water, man. I'm a toast in the new year with some water and some Netflix binging. Oh, and my vision board. I'm finishing that.
Oh,
vision board. I like that.
Vision boards are big in 2020. Yeah. That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. I like that. Okay. Greg, what are we doing?
I'm it's a weird December for me where I haven't had either of my kids for almost the entire month. It's very odd. It's just me and Michelle, and we are gonna have some wine, maybe some scotch, play some games, watch some Netflix, and that's gonna be the end of it.
Okay.
Pretty easy, but hey, it's I'm happy with it. That's exactly what I want to do to ring in the new year. So I got no problem.
That's what's
up. What about you?
I don't know. I mean, I'm just chilling right now. Like I said, I'm basically counting the minutes until Cobra Kai. I tweeted at Cobra Kai today. They replied. They said the dojo opens at 12 a.m. Pacific.
Oh,
I got a little fired up when I got that notification. Pretty pumped, Momo. So, I mean, am I going to put on a gi that I bought online 2 months ago? Maybe. That's a lie. I wish I'd bought that gi. I didn't. I'm so mad because I love that commercial.
I did buy Nevin all the Cobra Kai merchandise for Christmas. That was like my presents.
I wish somebody
had done
that for me. I got him
a Miyagi-Do. It was so funny. I got him a Miyagi-Do, and that's the one that got here in time for Christmas. And he was like a little, like, I thought he was going to be so stoked. And he was like, oh, yeah. And I was like, well, I figured you were a Miyagi-Do guy. And he was like, yeah. But, I mean, I think I'm a Cobra Kai guy. And I was like, oh, you wanted the Cobra Kai.
How is
like,
he picking
worry,
that
was on the way.
So early?
I know. We don't know yet. Season 3, it feels like it's a fight for the soul of Cobra Kai.
I know. I'm so
Daniel
excited. Daniel-san
and Johnny are going to team up.
I'm very excited about it. But no, I don't have any huge plans. I mean, like I said, I'm the kind of person that likes watching TV. For those of you who don't know, black folks make black eyed peas, collard greens, and cornbread. You know what I'm saying? On New Year's Eve is considered good luck. So that might happen. My cousin's cooking. So that could go down. But I think what I'm going to do also is I'm going to write my letter. Like I talked about earlier, for those of you who might just be tuning in, we were discussing resolutions earlier in the program. By the way, Sedano and LZ, ESPN 710, Clinton Yates, Ramona Shelburne filling in here on New Year's Eve. And there's a thing I do every New Year's where I write a letter to myself. And what you do is you write that letter, and then you put it away, and then you just leave it. And then the next year, before you read the last year's letter, you write yourself another letter. And that way, you get some reflection on who you are and who you've become over the course of the years. And as I've gotten older, it's been a very different exercise. You know what I'm saying? Partially because I sort of know, like, I mean, it's not that I remember, but I have a better idea of sort of what's happening in my mind because, you know, as it is, as you get older, the years become shorter percentages of your lives. So you kind of, you know, tend to remember certain things that are important. But I am thinking about what I want my so-called resolution to be because I must admit this year has been, you know, if I may say personally, it's been perhaps the most important year of my life. I left my hometown. You know, I worked in my home market. I covered my home market, not just sports, Momo, but politics, pop culture, all that. You know what I mean? And leaving my family, for lack of a better term, was not easy this year. And I remember when I had made the decision and everything sort of got kind of, I don't know, just arranged well. Because, you know, Momo, I'd been coming out here for a while. You know, we had been friends. You know, you guys, we knew each other and stuff. But I didn't live here. And I remember that when, like for so many people in 2020, when the pandemic really hit, so to speak, but what I mean by that is when people really had to start thinking about what their lives were going to be like sitting inside for an entire summer, is right when I had to leave. And, you know, I mean, like I said, I'm going to be 40 next year, and I'd lived my whole effective life in the city I grew up in, and going away under those conditions was like, it was just bizarre on a certain level because I felt like I was leaving everything I knew, but nobody could say goodbye. And when I got here and I was, you know, trying to understand the California lifestyle more than I already did and liked it, like I thought to myself, if this is going to be everything I wanted, I got to make sure that I'm the best person I can be, you know?
Yeah.
And I hate to be so personal with you guys on the air, but this matters to me because I like the station. I like everybody I work with, but I think that is what my sort of resolution is going to be for next year. It's going to be to continue to try to max out what it is I want from just a generalized goal standpoint. I think 2020 showed a lot of us that if you don't try something, you might never get the chance again. It could go away. And if you don't establish something, you might never, ever, ever forgive yourself for not giving it a rip. And to be most personal, Momo, if I hadn't gone when I went, I don't know that I ever would have made it.
Yeah.
And I don't know that I would have ever been able to be happy with myself if I hadn't just pulled the trigger and said, forget it. I'm getting on this plane. I don't care who's here. I've made all this work to try to move here, to do something that I want to do and be a happier person, a better journalist, a better broadcaster. And that's what I'm going to try to continue. So for all of you out there who have been working on something, people talk about like COVID habits they've picked up, like good ones, stick to those. You know, when this world opens back up, you don't have to become some entirely new person. You can be the person that you chose to be to survive. And that's what I want people to remember. If you survived 2020, commend yourself. And it's not about fault. It's not about reason. But that's what sports do. We've tried to come back. We've tried to make sure that people remember that people are real folks, you know? And that is super important to me, Momo. And that's my message for 2020.
I love it.
We got like 30 seconds left. So if you've got any resolutions, feel free to say them.
Look, I think there was a lot that we keep talking about 2020 that I thought was going to make me upset. A lot of bad stuff happened this year, but a lot of really good stuff did too. And we all had to get quiet and we all had to go inside, right? And we all had to just be with ourselves. And that's a good thing, right? That's a good thing.
All right. We got to go though.
Let's do it.
Oh, we got 30. My bad. Well, I wanted you guys to get yours in too, but Momo, what are your resolutions, Greg? I just want to make sure we don't all get cut off.
Because I was just love everybody and just be happy.
Yeah. Like we all had to go inside and just be with ourselves.
So
I think I learned a lot, didn't you?
Yeah. Thank you.
So I don't want to say good riddance 2020. We learned a lot. Just
true.
I'm glad we made it.
All right. For Sedano, for LZ. Look at that song. I love this song. Woo! Clinton Yates, Ramona Shelburne. Happy 2020, and let's get out of here and get to 21. Happy New Year, y'all. Be safe, be healthy. And they stay there!
Woo!